Hey everyone, I'm Ashley Banfield and this is Drop Dead Serious. If you have been following the story of Lakin Snelling, that young University of Kentucky cheerleader who is in a world of hurt after her roommates discovered a dead baby, hers, wrapped up in her closet, we've got a lot to update you on tonight. If you have never heard of this case, I have a previous episode in the episode description, and that should get you all caught up. But Lakin was just in court again, and let me tell you, she looked nothing like she did the first time she appeared before the judge. This time, she wisely decided to lose the red cocktail dress and the heavy makeup and instead opt for a more conservative look, almost as though she is in mourning, all dressed in black. The court's appearance itself was actually super, super quick, and I'll explain why in just a moment. And I'll also explain the significance of what she and her attorneys are doing in this legal game of chess. But first, some new court documents recently released. Wow, do they ever tell a story? And I'm not sure that it's good for Lakin. There's a new bombshell revelation that the baby boy died after he was born, which presents a legal problem for Lakin's defense attorneys. But also, there are accounts of Lakin hitting a drive-thru at the McDonald's right after giving birth, instead of heading to the police station to let them know that there was a dead baby in her closet. And to be honest, I don't know if it was a drive-thru or the mobile order, but it was McDonald's. I can see two sides of this story. I can see someone who just gave birth and they're starving, because I was both times. And she's alone in a house where you're not about to go down and start cooking. But it's not going to, you know, sound good to a jury if it goes to a jury that she's off, you know, getting McDonald's after giving birth and the baby's in the closet. So this is the very latest in the Lakin Snelling case. Police say 21-year-old Snelling, a stunt team cheerleader at the University of Kentucky, secretly gave birth inside her off-campus home in her room and then wrapped her baby in a towel and shoved him into a trash bag and hid him away in her closet. All as roommates were there, home, sleeping. This all happened in the middle of the night. No roommates heard any crying, babies crying, Lakin screaming in pain because she's giving birth. It's just all very odd. She was back in court as prosecutors laid out some new and chilling details about what really happened inside that bedroom. And I'm going to get to them in just a minute. But first, a little background on the case. It was August 27th when police got called to an off-campus home near the University of Kentucky in Lexington. The words from dispatch were, a dead baby in the closet, cold to the touch. When the officers arrived, they found a black trash bag in Lakin's bedroom closet. Inside were used cleaning supplies, bloody rags, and the body of a newborn infant. According to the police, Lakin admitted that she had given birth alone, cleaned everything up, and placed everything, the supplies, the rags, the blood, the baby, all into that trash bag. Lakin was arrested, and she was charged with abuse of a corpse, as well as tampering with evidence, and concealing the birth of an infant. But notice, that's where the charges end. There is no murder. There is no neglect of a child. Those can all still be added, and it is entirely possible they will be, but so far, still nothing. And her bond was set at $100,000, and after posting it, she was released to house arrest at her parents' home in Jefferson City, Tennessee. But here's the question hanging over this entire case. Was the baby born alive, or was the baby stillborn, born dead? We don't really know, but I think we're starting to get the picture. The coroner doesn't necessarily know either on the medical examiner's report. A Fayetteville County coroner, Gary Ginn, confirmed that the baby was a boy, but said that the exact cause of his death could not be determined. Not yet, anyway. By the way, even without an exact cause of death, investigators could still determine whether the baby was born alive and whether the baby took his first breaths. And that alone would rule out any defense that he was stillborn. What we do know is that the newly released court documents pull back the curtain on Lakin Snelling's first interviews with the police. And what she told them is pretty jaw-dropping. Seems to confirm that her baby was born alive as well. And that's really, really strong evidence. What the mother actually says, right? That's really strong evidence. Lakin, according to these police documents, claimed that she was awake for about half an hour after giving birth and then passed out right on top of the baby. She says when she came to, she saw the infant turning blue and purple, and believing the baby had died, she admitted, according to the police, that she wrapped him, quote, like a burrito, because it gave her comfort. And it gave her comfort to lie with that baby on the floor for some time. Yet in those same documents, Lakin also admitted that the baby showed, quote, a little fetal movement and even a faint whimper when he was born. Hold it. It's really big. Babies come out of the birth canal filled with liquid. They have never taken a breath, right? They've been living through the umbilical cord. And they've been living in amniotic fluid. And so when a baby is born, they have to take their first breath or they can't make a sound. And so if a baby makes a sound, baby was born alive, baby aspirated. Still doesn't mean that Lakin took a live baby boy and murdered that baby. It still doesn't mean that. It just reduces the possibilities for Lakin to say the baby was born dead. I didn't know what to do. So now we have the story of her falling asleep on the baby 30 minutes after the birth and waking up and realizing she'd fallen asleep on the baby. That also happens. Don't think it's so far-fetched. First of all, after you have a baby, you are absolutely exhausted. It's like running 3 marathons. All you want to do is sleep. And you're usually pretty damn hungry, like really hungry and thirsty as well. And so it is not weird if Lakin passed out on this baby, it is plausible. You may not think it's plausible, but it is. So instead of calling 911 or seeking medical assistance, she had a shower. Her alarm went off at 7:30 in the morning, which it does with her normal routine to go to class. She cleaned herself up. She cleaned up the mess in the room because childbirth is like a murder scene. It is really messy. So that's a lot of cleaning. And then she got in her car and she headed off to McDonald's. And I think she used the mobile app to order McDonald's. And she sat in her car and probably ate whatever she ordered at McDonald's. Because again, after birth, famished. And then after the McDonald's, she did something really unusual. She was supposed to go to class, but instead she stopped by the campus health clinic, which would be normal, but for the fact that she never went inside. She just didn't enter the building. She just made a different decision and decided to go home. She later told her roommates that she had fainted from not eating. And it was those same roommates who eventually checked her closet and found the baby. Now, I don't know why they were checking her closet. What would propel roommates to come into her room? And if she isn't there, let me look at her closet. That they did. I do want to read this full section to you, though. And I want you to brace yourself for this because this is right from the affidavit. Ms. Snelling stated that around 4 a.m. she gave birth to a baby which fell into the floor of her bedroom. Ms. Snelling stated that she didn't think the baby was breathing or was alive. Ms. Snelling advised that she was awake for around 30 minutes after giving birth before falling on top of the baby. Ms. Snelling said that when she woke up from passing out, she quickly got up and observed the baby turning blue and purple. Lakin said that she believed the baby to be dead and wrapped the baby up, quote, like a burrito, and laid next to the baby on the floor because it gave her a little comfort in the moment. Ms. Snelling said that she was awakened by her alarm at 7:30 a.m. for class at 9:30. Ms. Snelling said that she noticed that she was still bloody and needed to get a shower. Ms. Snelling said that she went to the kitchen to get a black trash bag. Ms. Snelling said that she placed the baby, which was still wrapped up inside the towel, inside of the black trash bag, and placed the black trash bag in the closet. Ms. Snelling said that she went and took a shower to clean up. Ms. Snelling said after taking the shower, she came back into her room and started to clean up the rest of the blood. Ms. Snelling said that she used paper towels, and the towel that she'd wrapped the baby in to clean up the rest of the blood. Ms. Nelling said she placed the placenta inside of a Ziploc bag and placed it inside the black trash bag. Ms. Nelling said she wrapped the baby back up with the towel that she had cleaned the rest of the blood up with. Ms. Nelling stated that she then placed the black trash bag back into the closet and shut the door. Ms. Nelling stated that she left her residence after this and went to school. Lakin stated that she did not go into class, but sat in her vehicle in the parking lot. Ms. Nelling stated that she wasn't feeling well, so she ordered McDonald's through the McDonald's app. Ms. Nelling said that after getting McDonald's, she went to the University of Kentucky Student Clinic, where she also did not go inside. After this, Ms. Nelling stated she returned home, where she was detained and transported to headquarters for questioning. It should be noted that when speaking to medical staff at the University of Kentucky Labor and Delivery Department, she stated that the baby had a little bit of fetal movement, but passed out shortly after. Ms. Nelling stated during her questioning by myself and Detective Martinez that the only time she passed out was around 30 minutes after giving birth, which leads me to believe that the baby could have been moving. Ms. Nelling also told medical staff that the baby made a, quote, whimper, and that she, quote, guessed the baby was alive, end quote. Search warrants of Lakin's cell phone revealed deleted pregnancy searches, including pregnancy hashtags for different weeks, pregnant on Facebook, labor photos, and other evidence investigators say point to a concealed pregnancy. It goes on to say that there were photos of Lakin, quote, during labor, photos of her doing things ordinary pregnant women would not be doing, end quote. And I think those are photos of her cheerleading because she's on the stunt team. And so she's like, you know, she's up there on the pyramid and most pregnant women, they don't get on the pyramid, right? And then get this, quote, the photos that were taken while she was in labor were deleted in an attempt to hide the birth, end quote. And if you think that's bad, it's about to get a whole lot worse. Detectives interviewed all of Lakin Snelling's roommates. One of them, Aaron Hamilton, told police that everyone in the house used a Snapchat group chat called The Trap at Park. The affidavit goes on to say that in the early morning hours of August 27th, around 4 a.m., one of the roommates messaged the group that she heard loud noises, like something had fallen. Another roommate said that she heard it too, and that the impact was so strong it actually knocked a picture off her wall. One roommate said the noises went on for about an hour. At 8:48 that morning, Lakin texted the group saying those noises were caused by her fainting. She told her roommates that she hadn't been feeling well, hadn't eaten, and had passed out. She added that she was going to see a doctor, but her roommates weren't convinced. Curious about what really happened, they went into Lakin's room, and what they found was astounding. A blood-soaked towel on the floor and a plastic bag containing evidence of childbirth. When they opened her closet, they found the body of a newborn baby, a boy, placed in bags. The affidavit notes that the baby appeared to be full term. Aaron Hamilton, the roommate, also told investigators that all of the roommates suspected Lakin might have been pregnant, but she never admitted it. As far as who the father of the baby is, Lakin's ex-boyfriend, college quarterback Isaiah Hall, has given DNA to the police to determine if he's the father. Lakin has withdrawn from the University of Kentucky, where she was once a cheerleader on the stunt team. On September 26th, Lakin Snelling appeared in Fayette County District Court. She didn't face testimony or evidence that day, but she did face the cameras, sort of. It almost appeared like she was trying to block the camera's view, clinging to her attorney, almost using him as a shield as she stood before the judge. She quietly waived her right to a preliminary hearing, which means that her case now goes straight to a grand jury, and the grand jury is going to decide whether to keep the charges as they are or to add even more serious ones like murder. As I mentioned at the top, this case has exploded online. Everybody is talking about it. So I wanted to bring in someone who's been tracking the reaction and getting insights from people who know Lakin in real time. Digital journalist Abby Escobar has the very popular TikTok account called Abby Blabby True Crime and News, and I spoke with her earlier today. Here's my conversation with Abby Escobar. Tell me your thoughts based on where we stand now in this case, especially after this second court appearance and these affidavits that have come out.
Yeah, so, you know, a lot of the information that came out in the affidavits, I had already been told by people who claim to be close to the case. And, you know, I believed it to be true, but of course, I didn't have it in that documentation. But now that these affidavits have come out and have put it there, you know, in writing, I'm just like, oh my gosh. You know, and a lot of people have defended Lakin, saying that she probably didn't even know she was pregnant. She probably just freaked out and didn't even know what she was doing. But clearly that wasn't the case.
I was surprised to hear that there were deletions made. Like, there were deletions of searches and deletions of videos that apparently she'd taken while she was in labor.
Yeah. When I heard that, my jaw about hit the floor. First off, why was she taking pictures when she was in labor? I mean, I have three kids. The last thing on my mind is to take pictures of what's going on down there because it's obviously not pretty.
I'm trying to think about it. And I'm thinking she's all alone, right? Mm-hmm. And she's unsure of what's happening. Mm-hmm. She certainly does not have a doctor's view. Right. And maybe she was using her camera to try to track what was happening. I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt to a 20-year-old kid. I still call, you know, 20-year-olds kids.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I have a 20-year-old. He's a kid.
Yeah.
But I want to give the benefit of the doubt because I think, was she in over her head and just trying to put her head in the sand thinking, it's all going to be fine. It's all going to be fine. Just it'll all be fine. It'll all work itself out.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because one of my true crime content creator friends said the same thing. She said, I wonder if she was maybe using it kind of as a mirror to kind of look and see what's going on so she knew, you know, what was happening. Yeah, what was happening down there. And then maybe after he was born, she was like, okay, well, I don't need these anymore. I mean, it's so hard to say, really.
And also, you don't want those pictures. And I mean, you never want those pictures. Think about what kids do today. And even I do it, too. When I don't know what the back of my hair looks like, I take a picture. You know, I just watched Black Rabbit, and one of the characters is getting a tattoo on his back. And his daughter said, you know, he said, surprise me. And, you know, so he used his phone to take the picture to see what the tattoo was. So it's just become part of our life that that phone records things that you can't see. And I wondered if that might be what she had done.
Yeah, very possible. I actually did that last week. I put my hair in a messy bun and I couldn't see it. So I kind of did one of these things. I mean, we definitely do that. But, you know, I wonder, like, why she didn't call 911 or even holler for a roommate. Like, she did all of this alone by her choosing to do it alone.
I'll tell you what. I've been around, and this is probably, if I had to go back all 37 plus years of my journalism career, this is probably like the sixth, maybe seventh, maybe eighth story just like this of, you know, girl or young woman. Girl or young woman who goes through an entire pregnancy.
Yep.
Nobody knows. Parents don't know. They're living at home. She's able to conceal it. Teachers don't know. Friends don't know. And they go into labor by themselves or with a boyfriend. And then either the child dies, they abandon it, or there's a killing.
Yeah.
And I am very mild mannered when it comes to being judgmental about this, because first of all, half the population has no effing idea because this will never happen to them. And second of all, it's a panic. It's a terror. It's an unknown. And I don't really believe that these girls who either dispose of the baby because they just can't deal or smother the baby, I don't think they're coming from a place of the typical murderer who's got mens rea and wants evil to happen. These are usually young people who are so freaked out they don't know what to do and they do the wrong thing.
Yeah, I can tell you it's hard for me to have empathy for these people because, like, Lakin, I believe she's going to be 22 in December. So she's almost 22 years old. I was actually 19 when I got pregnant with my daughter, and I was in college.
Wow, yeah. Really?
And so
this is super insightful.
Yes, I was 19. I was in college, and I was actually there on a scholarship. I sang. I was there on a vocal scholarship that I auditioned for, and I got. And anyway, I got pregnant, and I was kind of like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm going to have a baby. You know, it just changes your whole plan. But I left college, and I had
you did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had my baby, and then a few years later, I went back and finished, you know? So it's hard for me to have empathy for people in this situation, especially like Lakin's age, you know, almost 22, because I've been there and it's like there's always an option.
You know, I wonder if you had a different upbringing. I wonder if you had a you know, the kind of upbringing that gave you grounding and understanding.
I did.
And
I
you
did.
Didn't fear the judgment, fear the terror. I have no idea what her upbringing is. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if she was one of those people who was so formed by convention or formed by peer pressure or formed by parents' judgment. I don't know. I'm usually pretty easy on these younger folks because they come in all different shapes and sizes, and their developmental speed is still, they're not all at par with one another. That's for sure. And I see what you're saying about we're 19, she's 22, but I've known some 14-year-olds who could run circles around college grads.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, the thing with Lakin is I think that she had this upbringing where, like, she was kind of always in the spotlight, the center of attention, and almost like she was expected to be perfect. You know, she was a cheerleader, had a lot of friends. You know, she did the pageant thing. And I don't know if you saw her mom's Facebook, but she has a post on there that said, my beautiful, perfect daughter, Lakin. And, you know, like, as parents, you know, we think highly of our kids, but, like, I have a 20-year-old daughter. She'll be 21 in 2 weeks. But I would never be like, oh, Alyssa, you're just so perfect. Or this is my perfect daughter. You know?
No, because even if you think that, you're making the bar unreachable for her.
Yeah. You know? So part of me does wonder if she just felt like there was so much expectation. And like maybe if she said, hey, mom, look, I'm pregnant. Or hey, to whoever, I'm pregnant, you know, maybe she felt like her walls would close in or something. I mean, I don't know. It's hard.
Well, I think any young person in college, and I'm sure you can attest to that, feels like their walls close in when they hear, oh, guess what? You're pregnant. I mean, it's like, Mike Tyson, right? I always love this expression. Mike Tyson says, everybody has a plan until you get punched in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. And finding out you're pregnant is definitely a good punch.
Talk to me about the reports about the baby being full term. Like, describe what you've read, what you've heard, what you've know, what people have reported to you about this.
Yeah, so I've gotten messages from people stating that the baby measured 36 weeks and weighed just under 6 pounds. One of the people who told me that was related to the father or the alleged father. I believe they had like a funeral or some sort of service for him.
The father's family did?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
I was told
that's unusual.
Yeah.
So someone's copping to it. Someone's admitting it's me. I'm the dad.
Yeah. I guess there was like a DNA test. And after it came back showing that he fathered the baby, the body of the baby was released to him so they could do a service. Yeah.
I did not expect that. Usually the guys, especially college boys, are head for the hills. Yeah. It isn't mine.
Yeah,
you know?
Not mine. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So I've actually been told about that service by a few different people. And they've told me things about Lakin's parents' demeanor there.
What was it?
Well, they said that Lakin's mother allegedly was just very cold, emotionless, and referred to the baby as it, but that Lakin's father seemed visibly upset and like really saddened by it. So they were just very opposite.
Again, not the expected reaction. Mm-hmm. You would expect the mother to be more emotional than perhaps the father.
Yeah.
Don't ask why, but it's just typically the way.
Right.
And did Lakin go?
I was told that she did for like a minute. and that she left. Of course, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told by a few different people.
Yeah, that could also be a very uncomfortable situation, mm-hmm. right? You're not just attending the funeral of your dead child. You are also the person charged.
Right.
You probably feel as though you have a scarlet letter, and that the vibe there would be very unwelcoming. I would imagine. I'm trying to think of all the things, you know, that would get into her head. It's really hard. I mean, I've never been in that predicament. And so there, but the grace of God go I, right?
Right.
So, and there was like a description, I think, of the baby at one point. Someone had a description. What was it?
They said the baby had a full head of dark hair. And then they said that he even had like little sideburns. You know how babies sometimes get the little sideburns?
A lot of facial.
Yeah. Yeah. They said he even had little sideburns.
You also learned that Lacan did not have an easy delivery. I mean, it wasn't as though, well, that's done. Off I go to life. Talk to me about what you've heard.
So she had the baby around 4 o'clock in the morning. And then according to her, she dropped the baby. I don't know, dropped the baby on the bed, dropped the baby on the floor, but somewhere she dropped the baby. And then she claims that she passed out and landed directly on top of the baby. Like out of everywhere that she could have landed, she landed on top of the baby. And then she apparently came to and noticed he was bluish and purplish. And so she wrapped him up like a burrito. Yes, that's what it says in the affidavit. And then laid down beside him for a little while. It says because it gave her some comfort. That's what she allegedly told the police. I guess one of the roommates sent a message. They have some group chat on Snapchat and asked what that loud thud was. And she didn't respond for a while. And another roommate said that they heard these loud noises for like an hour. So if she passed out, then that wouldn't corroborate with what the roommate said.
Well, unless the loud noises were crying, muffled crying. But why wouldn't these roommates hear a baby cry? Especially if Lacan said in the affidavit that there was some sound coming from the baby.
That he allegedly whimpered and had movement. Yeah, it's very odd. But she apparently then woke up to her 7:30 alarm, which is her alarm to go to class. She got up, cleaned everything up, took a shower.
By the way, that is not a small cleanup.
No.
That's like a murder scene.
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, absolutely. It said that she took a shower and had to scrub all the blood off of her and everything. And then she went to the kitchen and got a trash bag and then put everything, like the cleaning stuff, the bloody towels, the baby. She put the placenta in a Ziploc bag and then just shoved it all in the closet.
Was she in a house or a dorm?
She was in a house.
So nobody saw any of this. Nobody heard any of this.
No, apparently they just heard like the loud like thud and then they heard noises. I don't know what those noises were. It wasn't specified, but some sort of noises for about an hour afterwards.
I think
it was her like cleaning everything up like as fast as she could.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right. But if I were a defense attorney, I might seize on that and say, if you think this baby was viable and alive, where was the crying that all these roommates didn't hear yet heard a 6-pound little baby dropping on the floor? I mean, you think about drop two water bottles, you know, or a couple water bottles on the floor. And a little baby, they're so slippery and soft. Yeah. They're not going to make a lot of noise to wake up the whole house if they drop on the floor. So as awful as that sort of that image is, but a baby crying, that would wake up. So if I mean that could be a really good defense for her, that this baby was not crying, this baby was not viable, this baby was you know, slowly dying, and I didn't know didn't do it.
I guess she apparently told the police that they said, well, if the baby whimpered and there was movement, then the baby was likely alive. And apparently she said, like, I guess, or that she guessed the baby could be alive.
This is number one. If she said there was a sound, that means there's oxygen, because you can't make any noise coming out of the birth canal unless you've aspirated. So it doesn't necessarily mean she's guilty of murder. Mm-hmm. That a child can die minutes after birth. A child Absolutely. Can be smothered, accident. It can be an accidental mm-hmm. death. It's very mm-hmm. hard to prove that she did yeah. something to this baby, because if they don't know it now, like if she smothered this baby, they would know it now mm-hmm. and they don't have a charge. So there right. is a strange way that this baby died.
Yeah. You know, and one of the things that they do when a baby is first born is suction out the airway. Yep. You know, if there's mucus or meconium or, you know, amniotic fluid, they get rid of all of that stuff so the baby can breathe. So if she hadn't done that, then
the baby just yeah. died on his own, which again is not a murder, but mm-hmm. it is a lot of other charges. I mean, it's right. unbelievable neglect. That's not mm-hmm. in there either.
Yeah.
You know, there are all sorts of other, did she need stitches? Did someone tell you that she needed, because yeah. she went to the medical clinic and turned away and did yeah. not go to that medical. She didn't go for medical care until the police took her. So what mm-hmm. happened when the police took her?
Yeah, I guess, you know, she was brought in by the police, and at some point she asked to be checked out. And of course, you know, they're not going to say no. So they sent her to the hospital to be evaluated. And yeah, she apparently needed to be stitched and receive a blood transfusion as well.
If you have ever had a baby out there, folks, there's a lot of blood. And there's a lot of postpartum pain.
Yeah.
You try going to the bathroom once and you will never forget no. how painful that is.
Awful.
And so I can imagine Lakin not knowing any of this and not having those really awesome little diaper pants that you get when you've just had a baby, right? That collects
yes.
everything.
Oh my God.
You don't have that, right? So mm-hmm. she's probably like using whatever she can
yeah.
find, and that
yeah.
is not working. And I could imagine her saying, I need to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
This is getting terrifying.
That, you know how they like massage your fundus afterwards to help your uterus recontract,
yep.
you know, so it gets rid of all that extra blood. She didn't have that.
Yep.
At least I think that's why they do it, but
she yeah. didn't have a lot of care, and I could see mm-hmm. her being in terrible pain and losing a lot yeah. of blood and getting weak and needing the transfusion. Doesn't sound far-fetched to me at
mm-hmm.
all. So tell me a little bit about these roommates all saying they knew nothing, because she's posting on social media stuff about pregnancy
yeah.
and they're not following her social
yeah.
media. Baloney. Every roommate knows every bit about the social media of their roommate.
Yeah. Yeah. It's weird that none of them, you know, I think they were suspicious even before the day of the birth. I think they were picking up on it. At least that's what I've been told. I know there was some trip. They went to Nashville, which I guess wouldn't be much of a trip for them since she lives in Tennessee. But, went to Tennessee with some friends, and she's wearing this dress that's very loose. I mean, and it almost looks like a maternity dress. It's a very loose, flowy dress, which if you look at other pictures of her, she tends to wear very tight, form-fitting clothes, but she started wearing all these really loose things. And I do think they started to pick up on it.
Oh, my great thanks to Abby Blabby, Abby Escobar, for joining me. Won't be the last time, that's for sure. And this is where we leave it. This is where everything stands. The picture-perfect cheerleader, now accused of concealing the darkest of secrets behind her closet door. A grand jury will soon decide her fate, whether the charges she's facing now are enough or shouldn't even happen, or whether more serious charges should be loaded on and might be right over the horizon. We're going to be watching every step of the way on this story. I'm Ashley Banfield. And remember, the truth isn't just serious, it's drop dead serious.